Hello and welcome to the Product Biz Podcast. Today we have a super special guest, Gloria, who is going to be sharing all her tips and insights on PR, getting into gift guides, and so much incredible knowledge that she has in this space. So welcome, Gloria. I'm so excited to have you here and would love for you just to introduce yourself right off the bat and let people know what you do and how you help small business owners.
Hey, yes. Okay, so I love small business heroes. That's what I call everyone. So I am Gloria Chow, last name spelled Chou. I am a small business PR coach, mainly for female product owners, and I've never worked a day in any PR or marketing agency. So I actually started cold calling newsrooms and hacked my way into getting people on, all the like CNBC and Wall Street Journal and New York Times, Elle, Oprah's Favorite Things. And I will share with you today kind of how any small business owner can hack their own PR and get featured.
I love it. And I think this is such an interesting topic too, because it sounds like you've gotten people featured in some pretty big names, which is fantastic. And before we dive into how to get featured in that way, tell me a little bit more on why this is important. Like, why should small business owners be focusing on PR and getting featured on these different platforms with these different magazines? What's the benefit for them?
So traditionally, you have a couple ways of getting in front of more people, right? You have social media, which you don't own. It's not SEO optimized, and you don't even know if people who are browsing your social media are ideal clients. So then you can pay money for ads, which, they're happy to take your money. You can spend tens of thousands of dollars before you see a return. Again, not SEO optimized. It's not searchable. The only thing that gives you all of those things and checks all the buckets of sales, visibility, SEO, and credibility, which is positioning yourself as a legitimate like newsworthy brand, that is earned organic PR. So that's getting into a gift guide, that's getting featured in a founder story, even a podcast. And I think right now the waters are so like muddy because there's a lot of like these pay-to-play scams. Like raise your hand if you got a DM that's a gift featured in this random magazine. That's not what I'm talking about. Right? I'm talking about like getting onto Oprah's Favorite Things, or we had someone last week get onto BuzzFeed for one of the best gifts for Chinese New Year. Or if you make skincare, we had someone who got into Elle for like the top 10 skincare face oils. Those are the most powerful ways to drive not only sales revenue, but establish yourself as just an incredible, valuable brand.
I love that. I think that's such a good way to look at it. I love how you explain social media and ads. And they're also super quick too. Everything you put on social media on Instagram, what is it, like a 24-hour lifespan? However, if you're on these gift guides, I'm sure your clients and the people you work with, when you've been on a gift guide, even if it was from 6 months ago or last year, it may come up when people are searching for that gift guide later on for the next holiday season or whatever it may be. So I think that's awesome. I think there's so much awesome benefit to this and such an untapped place for small business owners to really play in, which is pretty freaking cool. So tell me a little bit more about your background because I heard you say that you never worked in PR. So you just started like reaching out and cold calling. Tell us a little bit more about that story that really makes you an expert now of what got you interested in PR and a little bit more on just what you did to share with us, how you know all that you know today, and maybe what results like you saw from that too.
So here's the thing, old school PR was built on the assumption of privilege and access. You had to pay someone who knew someone in the media. And I'm here to just disrupt that whole thing and disrupt the status quo. It's really about letting people of all lived experiences, especially BIPOC founders, to be seen in the media. Now, growing up as an Asian American first generation immigrant, I never saw myself in media. And I really think that this is sacred work we are here to do, to pitch ourselves, to own our story, and to really confidently reach out to the media. And what I found, and I never worked in PR, by the way, I used to be in government, is that these media gatekeepers, right? These industry agencies who want to charge you $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, they don't want you to know that journalists actually don't want to talk to a PR rep. They actually want to talk to the founder. And so why are we buying into this narrative that you need to pay them as a media gatekeeper? So that's kind of the first thing is my mission is just to disrupt that whole thing, to give the key back to the small business owner, say you own the power of your story. It's just a matter of knowing how to present that. And it's not going to be your marketing pitch and your sales pitch. And in a little bit, we can go into how to pitch for, a piece of news or an outlet, but it's a different way of messaging that we're not really taught. But once we know it, all of the opportunities start to appear. So that's why I call myself kind of a advocate for the underdog. And another thing is, more Black women start businesses than any other demographic. So there's a lot of diversity in small businesses, but we don't really see that represented. And so to be able to change that narrative is we need to just all do our part to pitch to the media so that we can get our stories, our missions, everything represented in the small business landscape.
I love it. I can tell you're really passionate about it too, which I think just makes it awesome to hear what you've learned from everything that you've done. Okay, cool. So let's dive into some more tactical things because I know you help people get featured in gift guides and product roundups. Now, I think most people know what gift guides are. Product roundup, I think some people will know, but can you just talk us through maybe those two avenues, what they are, very basic, and we'll start there.
Yeah, so there's different types of media, right? So there's the print media, there's the online media, and there's different types of stories. You have your founder story, kind of like a business insider, how I built this kind of thing. And then you have your product focused things that may be what we're talking about today. So if you have a product that's giftable, that's shareable, and no, it doesn't have to be a physical product, it could be a digital product. It's really kind of the most pinnacle thing is if you can get into a gift guide, because that is millions of eyeballs on your product with backlink to your website for buying. And here's the thing. Why would people be reading a gift guide unless they actually have an interest? So you're actually hitting the right people at the right time, not just some random person scrolling on Instagram. Gift guides are great because there are so many of them. I literally interviewed someone who actually was a coach in one of our PR programs, and she writes the shopping list, so like best things to buy this holiday. And she told me that at her publication alone, at one publication, they were doing more than 30 gift guides in 1 month.
Wow.
And each gift guide has 10, 20, 30 items. So think about the possibility for you to get featured not only in just one gift guide, but multiple gift guides. And here's another thing. If your product is, and most products are, a fit for many different demographics, you could get into a Valentine's gift guide. You can get into a Mother's Day gift guide. You could do best gifts for her, even bridal gift guides, and Q4 gift guides. So don't pigeonhole yourself into thinking, well, it's just Q4 holiday Christmas. No, there are opportunities to get featured all year round for every type of gift giver and shopper.
And how does a product roundup differ from a gift guide? Because I think gift guide, like you gave some examples of Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, is product roundup any different or is it pretty similar?
So product roundup is kind of what I call like a best of list, you know, like 13 things you need to pack for your next vacation, or you know, you've seen like 13, you know, five best vegan, you know, soap bars. So things like that. It's not technically like gift for her or him,
Got
but
it.
it's just a best of list. So I kind of put those two together because what it is, it's a list of products that they're recommending to their readers.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. Okay, cool. So now that we understand the importance and what these gift guides and roundups are, how do people get started? If they're like, cool, Gloria, you sold me on this. I want to see if I can get a gift guide. What is that first step that that small business owner takes to make that happen?
I love what you said because it's really 90% mindset. I think all of us are tricked into thinking, well, we cannot get featured if, you know, we don't have a big, you know, following, or we don't have like a celebrity spokesperson. That is absolutely not true. We have thousands of founders getting featured alongside, you know, huge, you know, titans of the brand. So, you don't need to be in a certain, you know, stage of business. In fact, there's a lot of appetite now for indie brands and, you know, people who have different from relations and maybe something with like a mission-driven product. So those are all great ways to pitch. In terms of how to get started, if you have the mindset part down and you know that you want to get featured, it's really about finding the occasion or the seasonality to do that gift or product guide. So I want you to write down maybe 3 to 5 different types of articles you can be in. So if you make a facial product, it could be in sustainable, eco-friendly skincare. It could be in skincare for winter. It could be in best bundles for self-care. So whatever those buckets are, like start listing that out. And then soon enough, you're probably going to have more than three, by the way. You're going to realize, oh my God, there are so many different categories that people can gift this or use this. And then I want you to start picking out the best product for each thing. So if you have 3, 5, 30 different products, you're not going to pitch all 30 products. You're going to pitch the best one for the season. So if you make like I said, clean beauty or skincare, what you want to pitch for summer is going to be different for winter. And what you pitch for the holiday bundle is going to be different for Valentine's Day. So first start with the season, the category, and then start with one or two products. So they could be your best sellers. It could be something with an ingredient that's, you know, perfect for that season. So summertime, think refreshing, think citrus, right? If you're thinking of wintertime, you're thinking of moisturizing, luxurious, warmth. So those are kind of ways to get you started. And then after that, you kind of have your a skeleton of kind of what you're going to pitch and what to pitch. Then we should talk about how do you actually put everything into an email so that the person on the other side of the receiving button, which is, you know, a journalist or an editor, can say, yes, tell me more. That's the whole point of the pitch is getting the journalist to say, yes, tell me more. And that in and of itself is something that I teach. It's kind of it's kind of something that is a muscle. You have to become a better writer. But to me, there's no greater skill that a founder can harness other than to know how to get a yes from the person on the other side of that send button.
Can you give us some general guidelines on that marketing pitch? Or maybe like mistakes people make or things to watch out for? What tips would you give someone who's like, okay, I understand what occasion or season, I understand what product. Now, what do I actually do in that physical email?
Yeah, so here's the thing. From helping thousands of founders get featured and literally cold calling and with no connections, I started to pick up on patterns on, okay, what is it that a journalist who I've never met before is going to give me the time of day? And the more you lead with your sales pitch, so the features, the benefits, and all, the less likely you're going to get featured. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't talk about your product, but journalists don't want your product brochure. They don't want an order form. They don't want a slide deck. They are busy people. They want to know what is the relevance to this season. So, in terms of overall pitching, the two magic ingredients you must have to get the person to respond is specificity and relevance. So, don't talk about why your product is great and how it's new. Give me the specific ingredient that's trending or that has some kind of relevance. Maybe it's trending on TikTok. Maybe it's a formulation. Be specific. Relevance is also equally, if not more important, because I don't want to just a general pitch about why this lotion works, but why is it great for new moms to get rid of stretch marks? And what about new moms who have sensitive skin? And what about for winter? For like, so keep peeling the layers of an onion to get to that really specific and juicy core of an onion, which is kind of what I tell my PR students. Always peel away the layer of an onion. Talk about who it's for, why it's there. So specificity and relevance overall, you need to have those for any pitch. Now, in terms of the actual pitch, this is my CPR method. It's a method that I came up with from pitching thousands of times and getting over 1 billion organic views for hundreds of founders, right? So your pitch needs to have CPR in it. C stands for credibility, P stands for relevant point of view, and R stands for relevance, CPR. Now, what does that look like in a pitch? It means that when you start a pitch, the subject line for the journalist should not be your name. It should not include the name pitch. It should not include the name, gift guide. They already know that you're pitching them. So the subject line almost should read like an article title. For example, three hottest ingredients for skincare serums that won't mess up your makeup or something like that. You see how specific and relevant that is, right? And I don't want, don't put in your name. And then the email, you want to start with the relevance first. You want to start with the R and CPR first. Why? Because what is news if it's not relevant? The journalist is going to give you 3 seconds to determine whether or not it's relevant for them. So you want to start your email with relevance. So that is maybe citing a statistic. It could be something about what season we're in. It could be about consumer behavior. It could be about the latest TikTok trend. Whatever that is, use that relevance. And then the P in CPR stands for point of view. So then I want you to put in like three bullet points or list three things that support your point of view. So it could be something like, Sophia Richie's, bridal makeup is super trending. Everyone's trying to emulate it for this summer's bridal season. Here are three low-cost ways you can do the same. And so you three. You see what I mean? It could be tips, it could be tricks, it could be do's and don'ts. And then you want to conclude the email with the C, which is credibility. So it's just one or two sentences about why you are, in the position of pitch, which is most often you're a founder. Maybe something about how you've, formulated this because you had this your own problem, and then you created a solution. Maybe you won an award, although it's not necessary. Whatever that is, just to back up that pitch with confidence. And then you just say, hey, I'm happy to send you a sample. I'm happy to talk more about these skincare trends, and here's how I can be reached.
Awesome. I hope everyone pauses and rewinds and listens to that two or three more times because there was so much good information in there. And I love what you said about relevance and specificity. So tell me this. It sounds like when you're pitching, in most cases, are you pitching something super unique? Is this email going to be super unique for every single person that you reach out to? Or is there any way that, okay, maybe if I'm pitching about skincare for Mother's Day, I can take this pitch and maybe adjust it a little bit, but send it to five different people. So, what do you recommend there? Because I know there's a fine line of being super personal and personalizing the email. And also, maybe there's the other side of like, how do we make this more streamlined? Are you on the train of thought of
Yeah.
like, it's got to be personalized? If it's not personalized, I don't do it. Or what do you think in that on that side?
I mean, that is such a good question. In an ideal world, we would personalize every single email and comment on the last article they wrote. And, we teach students how to do this in our program, but listen, we're busy. Like, we don't have time to do that. But at the minimum, you need to have that relevance. And so if you have the relevance, whether it's Mother's Day, whether it's, sustainability Earth Day, and you have sustainable packaging, that usually will do 80% of the work for you. So the relevance is really important. Now, you can go and further personalize it. If you happen to see the journalist, and by the way, everyone should install a Google News alert today to know all the articles being, talked about in your industry. Let's say you got a notification that this journalist is writing about, your industry. You copy and paste their name, you want to reach out to them. Sure, you can definitely go ahead in the first sentence of the email and say, "Hey, I loved your roundup of the best vegan, skincare things last year. If you're writing the same one for this year, I would love to talk about my product." So you can definitely put that in there. I don't think it's, 100% necessary all the time, but think of it as a relationship building. An email is just not enough. So what I want you to do is send an email and then DM them with a follow-up. And obviously we have a whole training on like how to follow up, but usually you want to do e email and DM at the minimum because they need a reminder. And then here's another tip is install an email tracking device so you know whether or not your email is being open. So you don't make this big drama about, "Oh, well, she hates me," because they don't hate you. It's never personal. If they don't open it, it could be a deliverability issue. It could be an out of office issue. Then we just got to keep sending until they open it. And if they do open it multiple times, that's a great thing. It means that they just like it, but they're trying to find a place for it in their editorial calendar. That's when you go on with the follow-up. That's when you start to nurture that lead as you would a sale. Start to maybe comment on their latest post. By the way, I live in Brooklyn, so it's always loud here. A siren going off. So welcome to New York. It's just keeping that lead warm, right? And it doesn't mean that they're not going to feature you. I had so many people who send out pitches and they don't hear back, and all of a sudden, boom, they got featured in an article. And so I always say it's kind of like a think of pitching kind of like a conveyor belt of your luggages. You know how when you're like at the airport and there's like luggages coming out and some people pick it up. Maybe sometimes you need to wait like two turns before someone picks it up, but it's on the conveyor belt at least for them to see it. So do yourself a favor and put your luggage on the conveyor belt. Pitch early and often. Follow up. Install an email tracking device. Install a Google News alert. And then it just becomes this thing that you know how to do, like any other thing in your systems, like create like social media, and you can, allocate 1 to 2 hours a week, send all your pitches, send all your, DMs. You can even schedule send your emails, and then it becomes a system where it's very unemotional and it doesn't seem like a lot of effort, and you're consistently getting, in front of journalists.
I love the follow-up guidelines that you gave because that's a question I get a lot, especially because in this regard on follow-ups, it's very similar to store outreach. Like when you're pitching your products to be in someone's store, very similar. Like send them an email, follow them on Instagram, send them a DM, build a relationship. I love that you're saying all those things. Now, one question I get a lot on the store outreach side, which I would love to hear from you, is if you send them an email, send them a DM, you're nurturing the relationship. How often do you send another email if you haven't gotten a response back? Is it okay, every 2 weeks? Is it let me follow up a couple times via email, then let me go to monthly? Is it then quarterly? Do you have any guidelines there?
I think it depends on the first question is, are they opening your email? So if they're opening your email once, then yeah, I would follow up. But if they're, and then if they don't respond and they're not opening your email again, then it means maybe they're not as interested. But if they're opening your email consistently over a course of multiple days, not just once, it means that they're trying to find a place for it because the journalist is flooded with emails. They're not going to go back to your email unless there something has piqued their interest. So if you are seeing from your email tracking device that they are opening it, then that's when I would be more, cordial, like maybe on Instagram, be like, "Hey, like I love this article," or a lot of journalists publish on LinkedIn because remember, journalists are writers. So you can comment on their post and be like, "Hey, I love what you said about the retail industry and kind of like the, animal testing. And I love that as well. And, you shared some really good perspectives." So that's when you can start building that relationship. So I think it really depends on the data and what the data is telling us. Now, I will say this, as small business owners, we are not taught how to advocate for ourselves. The media gatekeepers think that there's such a high standard you have to reach that it's out of reach. So I always teach my students to lean on the side of like bothering the journalists more because there's no such thing as like you don't get blacklisted. Like there's no like way that you can really annoy the journalists. So I would say lean on the side of messaging them more than not because your default is probably not reaching out at all. And you really need to get into the habit of pressing that send button. And I know it's uncomfortable, but it's kind of a muscle. Like once you start pressing it, you're like, okay, you know what? Everything that I want in life is on the other side of the send button. And the more times you press it, the more comfortable you get. Here's another thing. Let's say you follow up weekly and it, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks go by, you don't hear anything. Guess what? Great thing about news and articles is that they are constantly changing. So your pitch that you wrote for summer, guess what? You can repurpose it into fall. And in that case, you can just refresh the pitch into another ingredient or an angle for the fall because you probably have products for every season and every reason. It's just about refreshing that angle and then reapproaching it.
I love it. It's such good feedback. Okay, cool. One thing I wanted to mention, oh, this is what I want to ask you. For the tracking system to see if emails are being opened, do you recommend MailTrack or is there another one that you recommend in general for people to use?
Well, MailTrack is okay. It's pretty basic. It does the work. It does the job, right? So I don't think you need to be super fancy on it. It could be anything. I don't recommend Outlook. I've had people use Outlook with like no luck. And then the moment they use Chrome, which is Gmail, like I had someone who makes ice cream, like vegan ice cream, she got featured in LA Weekly on like the hero image the next day. So that's just one tip that I've heard is Outlook is not great. So if you have Chrome, you can just search like a Chrome extension. MailTrack is fine. There's some more robust ones. Just really depends on what your budget is.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Love it. Okay. Now, one thing I want to talk about, and helicopters flying over me, so it's a lot over here too. We talked about the pitch. We talked about the follow-up. We talked about that part of it. Now, I think one thing I would love to hear from you is how do you actually find the journalists? Because obviously, to send that pitch, you gotta know who to send it to. So what do you recommend people do for that part?
Yeah, so I always say PR is super simple. Don't trust the experts who try to overcomplicate things. When they overcomplicate things, it's their way of trying to overcharge you. And so for me, it's like PR is very simple. It's literally writing a pitch and sending it out and then repeating that. So we did talk about the writing part. Now, who do you send it out to? Obviously, in my program, we have a database of contacts, but you can also do it yourself. How? By installing a Google News Alert. And guess what? The people who write that article, copy and paste it into an Excel spreadsheet, and sooner or later, you'll start to populate your own thing. Another thing, you can sign up for Haro, Help a Reporter Out. I have a lot of people who got featured. One person just got featured on Wall Street Journal yesterday, actually. And it was a Haro inquiry. So Haro is Help a Reporter Out, HARO. And journalists who are looking for people to interview, because they are every single day, they're in need of your story. They basically send you an email and it kind of rounds up all the different people they want to interview. We also have a ways to see what journalists want. For example, if you're on Twitter, you can follow the hashtag journal request. And I think the hashtag is on other platforms as well. But basically, when a journalist is looking for a source to interview, they will put it on the hashtag like, hey, do you know anyone who has a small business in Chicago who hand pours candles, right? Whatever that is. So those are kind of all the grassroots way you can start to populate and get understand who's covering your industry. Here's another tip on sending it out. Don't send it to the editor-in-chief of Vogue. They're busy doing their own book tours, honey. They're not gonna write your story. What you want, instead of sending it to like an info at BuzzFeed or PR at Vogue, you want to find a very specific writer covering your issue. So whether that's a sustainability editor, whether that's the fashion stylist person, whether that's a person covering accessories, whether that's the person covering beauty, you want to be specific to who you're sending it to.
I love it. Now, if you find someone who's specifically writing an article on that, is their email going to be on that article online, or is then you get scrappy and like search for their name on Google to try to find it?
So this is because journalists are, you know, they're people like in the public space. It's not proprietary information, so they have to make their stuff available to you. So you can Google, you can do a Google search. Obviously, it's going to take time. And also know that they kind of move around a lot now with journalism and the state of media. People just can't afford to like have a lot of staff reporters. So you probably find one writer who then freelances for other places, which is good for you because it means if you know one person, they probably write for multiple articles. So what I would do is I would back up your research with social media as well. A lot of times you can find them on social media, like a Twitter or an Instagram, and they will actually put in their bio where they are writing for. And so that way you can kind of match up the names with the emails and then kind of go from there.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Such a good tip. Awesome. Yeah, I think you've shared so much good information on just making this something that people see the benefit of and also realizing that it's doable for them and it's something that they can really tap into. Now, the last question that I have for you, and then I would love to see if there's anything else that you want to share. But last question that I have specifically on this is, I know you mentioned like Wall Street Journal, Oprah, Elle, some of these awesome big publications. So this would be great for people to hear. for big publications and big media and PR, are your members following the same process to get into even these big places where they get exposed to a lot
Oh
of
yeah,
people?
we've had members get into everything. Oh, like Oprah's Favorite Things, we had someone get on there as well. And so it's you don't need to know anyone to pitch. Every single person who has gotten featured in the hundreds of outlets, it's all cold pitching. So they never had an established relationship. They never knew someone who knew someone. It's all just using this method, the CPR method, which is how to position your message as a way for the other person to say yes. And so it's a value-driven conversation. And this has worked even for people who are trying to pitch to wholesale, honestly. But it also works for like LinkedIn messages. If you still like condense the pitch into something, but still being, specific, relevant, like having a bit about your credibility and point of view, it also works for DMs. But remember, all the pitches need to be specific and relevant.
Cool. Okay. Actually, I'm going to ask you one more question. As you were talking, this popped up. So, do you see any correlation between the people who are getting featured from doing this cold pitching and the state of their product, business, Instagram, or website? So, what I mean by this is, like, do you feel like a super credible website and Instagram is probably going to help your odds? Is there any correlation there? Or is it like, hey, just pitch and see what happens? Or there's probably maybe a middle ground. But what do you think matters in terms of website and Instagram, like professional photography and all those other components that can really help, I think, on the credibility side, but I'd love to know your point of view.
So credibility is actually the least important part. We have people who even like got featured when their website was still kind of under construction, or let's say you don't have your product yet. Guess what? You can do a wait list. So these are kind of just barriers that we put in our mind. Now, if you are in something that's very visual, so if you're in skincare, fashion, makeup, those are visual mediums. So you probably do want to invest in good brand photos, but you don't need to have a lot of followers. All the journalists I'm talking to, they are not looking at your Instagram because they know that you can buy followers. So that doesn't impress them at all. It's really about what is your story? Like, what is your unique value add? How is this product going to be beneficial to their audience that season? So again, always back to the relevance. We've had people who are most people are just team of one person, pouring candles in their garage, and they were able to get featured in so many places. We had someone who makes soaps, and it's not pretty. It's just a bar of soap, but her whole thing was no packaging, zero waste, and she has been featured in like 13 different places, like Condé Nast Traveler, Martha Stewart, Refinery. So it's really about taking that one product, but repurposing it for different things. So she got featured in like, how to be sustainable this summer for a backyard barbecue, because then she's positioning herself as a sustainability expert. So you don't always have to only talk about your product, right? You can talk about the status of clean beauty. You can talk about, we have someone who makes non-toxic dresses and about fabric dyes and how that's harming our health. So now she's talking about hormone imbalance. So always think, okay, you're not just confined to your product and gift guides. You can also talk about, what's happening in your industry.
Beautiful. I love it. I think that's such good content. And I hope people, as you're listening too, you can start to take the insights that you're sharing and use that in multiple different avenues. So, for example, like you mentioned, the bar of soap who doesn't have any packaging, like that's a great angle just to always talk about on Instagram. Like, cool, you just probably could create 10 pieces of content just on that and really focus in on that on something totally separate other than PR, but using some of those ideas of like, cool, what else can I talk about and what other ways can I share about my product? So, I think it's great to see how this, what you're sharing and the concepts you're sharing can actually be used in multiple different ways, which I think is always great to hear that. Okay, cool. So before we wrap with like where people can find you and more about your programs, is there anything else that you want to share? Any final things that I didn't ask you or anything else that comes up, or do you feel like we covered the bases?
There's so many things. I really think all of this is mindset. I just think that we have been conditioned to think that we're too small or our product is too young or nascent to be featured. And I think that's literally 80% of the work. And if you can actually break through that, then you can actually start to take action, right? Because your thoughts and your actions are connected. I get questions a lot around samples, and I will say that nobody who has gotten featured in our program, and they've gotten featured in all the top magazines, no one has had to send a sample. Unless you're getting on TV, like unless you're on Good Morning America and they're sample, like actually doing a product demonstration, be very careful of these like fake influencers who are just wanting free stuff from you, who say that they're writers. So this is also why it's becoming a little bit more complex in the age of influencers who are saying that they're journalists. So very careful of people asking all these samples. You want to make sure that it's low cost to you, and I don't want you to like be out of budget sending people samples. So I talked to the shopping and beauty editor at Allure, and she's like, I have so many samples, I don't even want another sample. right? I just want to know your story. I want to know why it works. And, that's it. So she doesn't actually need any samples to first, say that it's good or bad. Now, some people will, but I will say that it's not 100% always a requirement as a default.
Beautiful. Such a good tip. Love it. Love it. Okay. Awesome. Well, this has been such a good episode. There's so many good pieces of information that I know people will walk away with. I'd love for you to share where people can find you, Instagram, your podcast, your program. Give us all the details so they can keep in touch.
Yes, like so many things. Oh, we didn't even talk. One more thing is about affiliate links. I know a lot of people ask me about that. So a lot of times when you get featured, the magazine will be like, okay, well, do you have like an affiliate link? And not always, but sometimes they do. So if they do, then it basically means that like, if you make a sale through their website, then they get a proportion. It's a win-win. And you can definitely do that. You can provide, so there's a couple of websites. You can go on ShareSale, you can go on SkimLinks. So those are kind of ways when people do ask for affiliate links, you can do that. It's not technically pay to play, right? Because you're not paying them to be featured. It's more of, do they get kind of a scratch on their back if they scratch yours? So that's really what it is. I would love to continue the conversation. I know we can only cover so much. I do have a freebie for everybody. If you want to get into a gift guide, we have rounded up the top 10 proven angles for all year round to get featured in a gift guide. And we actually give real examples of each one. So you can DM me the word gift guide. I'm at Gloria Chow PR. That's Gloria Chow, the word gift guide. And I will give you that freebie. And then I also have my own podcast called Small Business PR, where we actually interviewed the beauty and shopping journalist at Elle and, to be like, what are you looking for? And what are your thoughts about samples? So that's really my way of not gatekeeping information and making it accessible. My PR program is the only one, I think, on this planet that's allowing small businesses to get featured by disrupting old narratives and not needing connections or privilege. It's really giving you the power to write your own story and connect with journalists so that you own the connections because you are powerful. So you can find out all the things, but Instagram is usually where I'm hanging out. So DM me the word gift guide and check me out on my podcast, Small Business PR.
Awesome. I'll make sure to link that in the show notes too. And thank you again so much. So much good tips. Thank you for sharing your insights. Thank you for your time. And thank you for stopping by here and being a guest on the podcast.